Blog Talk Radio.
It's Sunday evening, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Your hosts for tonight's show are Robert Brining and Jeremy Dunn. They'll be taking your calls and speaking on the topic of the week. You're encouraged to call in and share some of your life experiences with us. The number to call is 347-215-9442. That number again, 347-215-9442. Welcome to Pause I Am Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Pause I Am Radio. I am your host, Robert Brining. Tonight I have a special co-host. Please help me welcome Christopher Myron. Hello, Christopher.
Hey, Robert. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good. I was cutting it a little close. I was too busy watching Law & Order SVU, and I was like, oh, shoot, the show's about to start.
That's funny. I just want to thank you for sitting in the chair with us this evening and filling in. I'm excited.
I'm excited, too, actually, to talk to Danny.
Yes, yes. Danny Logan is our guest this evening, and we'll talk a little bit about Danny when he calls into the show a little bit later. But first, I just want to talk to some people about recently Elizabeth Taylor passed away. And she was a huge AIDS activist. And as you know, you've read in articles and heard quoted on TV, she was one of those people who stood up and really stood up against AIDS and really stood up when nobody else would. And I think that she was such an amazing woman. And I love the fact that she was late for her own funeral,
yeah.
Which, is, you know, if you haven't seen on TV, she was 15 minutes late. She planned it so she would arrive late, because that's just how she was. And she auctioned a lot of her jewelry off for AIDS research and stuff. And I believe I'm really bad with facts, but I believe she began AMFAR.
Yeah, she was one of the co-founders of it. In fact, actually, a friend of mine last night here in New York, he went to the AMFAR gala, and a lot of stuff was donated on her behalf. So it was really good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I couldn't afford to go there, of course, but he gave me an absolute Wild Tea fan as a parting gift. Apparently, they gave him out. So
oh, that's funny. That's funny. So I just want to do a little lineup and let people know what we have coming up in the upcoming weeks. Danny's traveling on a train, and he's going to be a little late calling into the show. So I just wanted to kind of give you a rundown. April 3rd, we're going to be speaking with Anthony Johnson, who runs an organization down in Florida called BOLT, which stands for Bringing Our Lives Together. And he's a 16-year survivor of HIV, so he's going to come on and talk about why he created that organization and what it does. On April 10th, we are going to have this amazing woman, Kath Robinson Pickett, and she hosts a podcast called Straight Talk with Kathy. And she is a wonderful mother, teacher, and she talks about real issues with women. And she did a workshop at the conference that I was at, the Positive Living Conference in Fort Walton, on domestic violence and HIV and women. And she talks about real issues with women, and she's just amazing. And I think that other people need to hear her story, because she's been, you know, one of these people. Well, she was one of the first people I met when I got picked up, Chris. And
oh, really?
She told me, I was like, so what do I expect? You know, is it a different kinds of people here? And she's like, oh, there's a range of all kinds of people. She goes, but it's nice to see your fresh face. She goes, us dinosaurs. She was really excited to see it, and I started laughing.
That is funny. Too bad
and
I couldn't make it to that.
On the 17th, we're going to have our friend Justin B. Smith from Justin's HIV Journal, and he's going to come on and talk about his new children's book that he has coming out called I Have a Secret, and you can guess what the secret is the little boy has. So this is going to be really interesting. It's Justin's first book, so I'm excited to bring him on to promote that. And then on the 24th, we're going to be speaking with Cowboy Larry Frampton. Some people may know on Pause I Am as Cowboy Larry. He's going to come on and talk about HIV and AIDS, and he did a workshop at that conference, too, on that subject. And it was fascinating, and I think some of the people, you know, who listen will actually get into, you know, what the things that you need to keep up with when you're aging with HIV. It's different when you're getting it, you know, when you're younger, so I think that's important.
Oh, that's cool. I should probably keep up with your radio shows.
That's funny. But let me think of what else I wanted to mention before that. So I know many of you were actually anticipating tonight's show because we have on Danny Logan. And people who may not be familiar with the name but may actually remember where we all actually where I first found out about Danny was the ABC show Primetime, What Would You Do?, where John Quinones puts, you know, people in those awkward situations. And one of the situations was that Danny is an actor, and he served as somebody who is HIV positive, but also is HIV positive in real life. So he didn't really have to act being positive. And they put him in a diner setting, and at first I believe he was the server serving people food, you know, and then they reversed it and put him on as a customer getting food there, and how, you know, it was different, kind of odd to see the reactions, you know?
Yeah, it was interesting to say the least. So I'm kind of looking forward to asking him a couple of questions about that, like some of the stuff that we didn't see behind the cameras and how other people reacted. So kind of interested to see that.
Yeah, no, so am I. I see some people. If you're just listening up to the first time, tuning in, because maybe you know Danny, or a.k.a. Dallas Dubois, we are here live every Sunday, and what we are is an internet podcast radio show that we kind of give the microphone to people living with HIV and allow them to share their story. And we did that. The reason we started it was because in my neighborhood, you know, there is no voice of HIV. You don't even know it exists. You don't see it on billboards. You don't hear about it on the radio. It just isn't something that's really talked about. So for me, I wanted to give the voice back to my community, and I thought that, you know, this would be a great way to do it. So we have different guests who come on, and we're here every Sunday at 9, so check us out. You can follow us on Twitter, PozIM, and also on Facebook. We are listed there for, you know, all the good connections, so you can always help promote us. Just recently, we discovered a way that you can actually put the radio show player or a radio show button on your blog or website. So if you're actually on our show page, which is blogtalkradio.com/PozIM, if you're actually on that show page, right underneath the player that is playing live right now, you should be able to click something that says grab the code for this player or share this player. And if you click that, it allows you to pick the code, and you can, you know, promote it on your blog and actually listen to it live there if you want, which is really cool.
Which is why I'm convinced that PozIM has boycotted me, because I can't do that, along with other things on this website. No, but I think it's just my computer.
No, that's interesting. That, you know, a lot of people, if there's issues with you being able to listen or the show is refreshing, you may want to make sure you download it, Adobe Flash, the latest edition, that's updated, because a lot of it, the chat room runs on Flash, the radio show runs on Flash, and sometimes it's a bit too much. So that could be some of the issues that we come across later on. But other than that, what else is new with you, Christopher? I know you just moved back home. How's that going for you?
You know, I think my family's listening tonight, so I'm going to keep it, you know, civil. It's interesting, to say the least. It's actually kind of funny that you were just talking about small town and, like, you know, HIV, not much talking around here. It was like coming from New York City back to Long Island. I'm not surrounded by it. Nobody talks about it. It's like it doesn't exist. So it's kind of weird being back here.
So it's a lot different than the city.
Tremendously different. Thank God my job is still in Manhattan. I spend all my free time there, so.
But do you, so is there local ASOs there, or you just go into the city for all your stuff?
I pretty much go into the city because, for one thing, you need a car to live on Long Island. And even if there are ASOs, which I'm sure there is, they're not within any distance near my house. So it's almost like being in a rural area. Now I can kind of see when some people talk about how they don't have things. I take it for granted that all that stuff is surrounded by me in New York City. So,
and that's kind of why, you know, because I kind of live in a somewhat rural, not as rural as I'm sure you are or other people are who live in Nebraska or hee-haw town.
Hello, Janine.
I didn't have any, you know, there's nowhere to go. So that was kind of why we created, you know, the PozIM network for people like that and for other people who just wanted to connect online. I mean, everybody's social networking now, so it's just so, it has to be happening. Like, if you don't have a Facebook page or a Twitter page for your business, or you know, for anything that you do to promote, you know, it's kind of, you're missing the mark.
That's so true. So true. I always have my pages idle. Twitter, Facebook, and PodsIM. That's all I never go on.
That's funny. That's all I do too. Back and forth, unless I'm trying to work on something else. We'll see. I'm actually trying to start job hunting, so that's something, that and trying to quit smoking cigarettes.
Oh yeah, how's that going?
Nice out of car. Well, it's not going as good as I wanted it to. I'm still smoking less than a half. I'm smoking about a half a pack, so 10 a day.
Well, that's good. I'm drinking about a half a bottle of liquor each week this time, so we're both struggling, but we'll do it. Oh, and I just want to point out, if Daddy Dad's listening, I just want to wish you a happy pre-birthday. I see it's his birthday tomorrow, so happy birthday to him.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Yes, I love birthdays.
You love birthdays?
I love birthdays when they're...
Oh.
You
know,
speaking
of which, you know those commercials that they have for the American Cancer Society with all these celebrities singing Happy Birthday? What a great idea. They should do that for the HIV world, have commercials like that singing Happy Birthday to us.
Yeah. Hear that, Elton John? You need to be the first one.
Exactly. Or we can just do it collectively.
I don't know if I can sing. But you know who can sing? Lauren. Lauren can sing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he sings. He does his face. He sings songs on Facebook. He does status updates. He actually sings. He's really cool. You gotta look him up. His name is Lawrence Sperling, and he does singing status updates. If you look
Lawrence Sperling.
If you do it on YouTube and look up singing status updates, he literally goes down his friends list and sings their updates. It's really funny sometimes. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Totally gonna look that up.
It's always fun stuff. That, and then I have a friend who does some really funny stuff. She's a photographer. She's a, I can't even speak tonight. She's a photographer and I believe a nurse at home. And she, you have to go to YouTube. It's Jen to the Den. So J-E-N-T-H-E, no, Jen to the Den. So J-E-N-T-O-T-H-E-D-E-N. And she does these hilarious friggin', it's just everything that she does, she's all these different characters. And she's really, really cool, and she does really funny things if you like to laugh.
Is that the rapper friend that you have?
The rapper?
Yeah.
You sent me
something of a girlfriend of yours that, like, raps, and it was really interesting.
That's her, but that's one of her characters, Kiki. She plays
Kiki.
It
was hilarious.
Yeah, really funny.
I had people in the office rolling on that one.
Well, she has, like, 30 different, well, I would say up to now, about 30 different characters she plays. And it's really, really cool how she does it, and the way she films it in her rooms, in her house, you know, like she does it at a different angle, so it looks like she's doing it from all different places. She's just hilarious. It's like she's pure genius. It's on Funny or Die. She's talent, and that's amazing. And
well, you didn't tell me
that
she had all these multiple personalities at first, because you show me this one video of her rapping. I'm like, who is this person? How is she related to Robert? And then I did a little more research.
Yeah, we bumped on Facebook, and we joined one of these groups, and I don't know what it was. Could have been one of those, We Hate Westboro Church or something like that, and she liked my comment, and we ended up friending each other. So, I mean, it was just random, and she's a hoot, but, yeah, you have to check her out. Jen to the Den on YouTube.
Love it.
But let's see. Other than that, what else is new with you? Anything?
No, just same old stuff, dealing a lot with ADAP stuff. And it's also premature, but I may be up for a job in D.C. working in the HIV/AIDS community, but it's very premature, so I don't want to jump the gun here. And I promise friends, if I don't get the job, that I'm moving to Austin, so it's one of the
I read about that all the time on PodsIM. You're always talking in there about moving to Austin.
You know, they're such great guys, and, you know, that is reason enough for me to want to move there. I've never been to Texas. I know nothing about Texas. The only thing I know is Cowboys. That's all I need to know.
Well, that's not in all of Texas.
You know
who else is in Texas?
Who?
Our friend, oh, my God, I'm drunk. Michelle Anderson.
Some friend.
The beauty queen, huh?
Oh, she is? No, saying some friend. Some friend, what's her name?
No, I couldn't think of it. I got her first name. I couldn't think of Anderson. It, for some reason, just slipped my mind. But she actually just ranked and is going to be, I want to say, like, Texas, like, I forget, Miss Texas Plus or something like that. But she is going to a thing, and she's going to, like, a benefit to become Miss Texas. I don't know the whole.
Oh, yeah, I voted for her. I saw that.
Yeah. I voted for her, too. But now she's doing this other thing where she needs some donations to raise money to go. So I know I was going to try to maybe have her pop on or talk about it. But she's just advanced. So I wanted to congratulate her for that, because that's amazing.
That's wonderful.
That she did so well.
Good.
Look, I'm trying to see what's going on. If you guys have any questions or anything you would like to chat about, feel free to chat in the chat room, either on Pause IM or on the thing. Yes, everyone's confused. Christopher is the co-host, so there is no confusion.
No,
here.
You know, I'm just taking over.
Christopher is sitting in tonight for Jack, so that's interesting. It's
sorry, guys.
Thing.
Sorry
so
to disappoint
everybody. No, they're just confused. They thought you were the guest for tonight.
No, I'm not that lucky. Go back to August of 2010 when I was on. Catch my show then.
That's funny. So how is your book coming along? Because I know you're working on a book.
Well, you know, this entire winter, because I said I was checking out for a while, and because I completely die when winter comes. I just, like, cut myself off from the world. So I've been working on a novel that I've been working on for 3 years now. And now that the weather's been warming up, I'm heading back to my blog world. So I've been doing that again for your site and my other website, ChristopherVersusHIV.blogspot.com. But the novel's coming along really, really well. So one day,
right.
maybe in the next decade, it will be published.
I'm sure it will be eventually.
I mean, that's the one benefit about the job that I have now. There's not much going on, so all I do all day long is write and chat on your website. That's all I do.
I do not have, like, I guess the patience to, like, I want to write a book so bad because I really feel like I could, like, there's something that I'm supposed to write, but I don't have the patience to sit down and write a book.
Well, there's always that chapter that you were willing to do for my other book.
Yes, which I need to get working on that.
No worries.
Am I the only one behind?
No, Janine's behind, and Danny just told me he needs to update his. So it's a work in progress, but I'm not giving up.
Okay. Yeah, I know that. That's it. But even, like, when I blog, like, see, you always, like, blog. When I read your blog, it's, like, all intelligent and smart. Don't have, you know what I mean? I don't have that, like, I don't know.
Do you want to know a secret? When I was in high school and middle school, I was in, like, the stupid English classes. Like, I really was so behind. I barely knew how to read. And that's why when my mother reads this stuff, she's like, where the heck did this all come from? When did you learn how to write like this? I'm like, well, it just blame it on the HIV. That's what I say.
And that's funny because I'm the complete opposite. When I was little, I used to read all the time. There used to be this program in school called Book It.
Oh, yeah?
Did you ever hear of it?
Nope.
Maybe they got rid of it before. But I used to do it, and you would read it, and you would, you know, after five books, every book you read, you would get a star on your little button. And it's funny. And after you got five stars, you got a free personal pan pizza at Pizza Hut.
Nice.
So, like, I always read when I was little. I always had a book in my hand. I was always reading. Now, I don't have the attention span for it.
Oh, God. No, see, I've been reading a lot more. I'm actually just finishing up the Harmony Milk biography. But, no, except for To Kill a Mockingbird in school, I cheated on all my English tests. I never read the books. I just cheated off of tests.
Me too.
Absolutely hated it. So I'm really looking forward to Danny coming on. Hopefully his train's not too behind. I just booked another share this summer for Fire Island, and I want to know if he's going to be performing his alias, Dallas Dubois.
Right.
It's pretty cool. It's like if he's one that I recognize at the Grove Hotel that they have in Fire Island, the drag queens dance around the pool, and then they knock each other into the pool. It is a hot mess. I love it. So I'm really looking forward to asking about that.
Yeah, no, that should be really, really interesting. Anyway, as we're waiting for Danny to call, let me ask you, I have a PSA. Last week, we played Marvelin's PSA. I'll play that a little bit later. But right now I'm going to play, it is, if you go to greaterthan.org, it's an organization that puts these together, and this is Senior Chaos is his name. So,
wonderful. Take a listen to this. What's going on out here? We got changes to make. It's time to wake up for humanity's sake. Break the silence today before it's too late. AIDS is affecting us, disrespecting us. I'ma go get tested. It's a simple maneuver. It's not about the past. It's about my future. I'm not trying to miss it. I won't be a statistic, so I protect myself whenever I'm intimate. At this moment, I decided to have a plan. It's time to take a stand, cause AIDS, I'm greater than. This is Senor Chaos, and this was my deciding moment. Tell us yours at greaterthan.org.
There you have it. So go to greaterthan.org and you can tell them your deciding moment. That's a little, it's cool. I like it.
Oh, hip. I gotta stop laughing. I'm sorry. It was good. I liked it, but I wasn't expecting that. No disrespect, Greater Than. I really did like it.
No, I think it's great, you know, and it definitely, is relatable to people who understand and especially deal with those kind of, you know, situations and listen to kind of like that hip-hop music. It kind of really moves you. Marvelin's is a little bit softer. I'll play that later on in the show, but it's really, I'll play Marvelin's now. Take a listen to Marvelin Brown's PSA and tell me what you think of this.
I contracted a preventable disease from a guy that looked good and smelled good, but never mentioned that he had HIV. But he is not to blame. I should have loved myself enough to protect myself. But through it all, I found self-love, and it's the greatest thing I ever felt. I was never less than or equal to AIDS, but always greater. I just realized that not caring for myself or my body, I was my biggest hater. I am author of The Naked Truth, Marvelin Brown, and I am greater than AIDS.
There we
now
go.
That was awesome. I like that one.
Again,
no disrespect to Greater Than. I just really liked that one.
Yeah, it was just a little bit. Yeah, I love Marvelin, so she's awesome, man. And anything that she does, I'm a fan of. But it was definitely, it was a little bit more, you know, down, and it wasn't so loud. So I guess it was a problem.
It looks
but
like we have
GreaterThan.org.
You know, this might be Danny. We have a caller at 516 area code, which is the same area code as mine. I'm not sure if it's him,
though. That's Danny. So please, everybody, our guest is on the line, so help us welcome Danny Logan, a.k.a. Dallas Dubois.
Yay, Danny.
Hello, Danny. Welcome.
Can you hear me?
Danny, are you there?
Danny?
Hello,
Danny.
Can you hear me all right?
Hello. Hey, Danny.
Hey,
Danny. How are you?
Hello.
Hello?
Can you hear me okay?
Say something other than hello.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we
can hear you.
Okay, I can barely hear you guys. It's a little faint, but as long as you can hear me, then that's okay.
Well, yeah, all right. So how you doing? Thanks for sitting in and chatting with us this evening.
Oh, absolutely. How are you guys doing? Good?
Wonderful.
I couldn't hear the beginning of the radio show because I was in the tunnel, but I can hear you now.
Well, that's good.
Oh,
that's good.
Good.
Are you back home already?
I'm currently in a cab, thanks to New York City's MTA system. The subways are unreliable after 8 p.m. on a Sunday, so.
Danny, I'm in the New York City area, too, and I have absolutely no comment to that one and completely agree.
Yeah, so you got to rely on cabs.
Yeah.
Well, you know, hey, it beats the price of a car.
It definitely does, absolutely.
I mean, that's the benefit of living in a city, don't you think, Danny?
Yeah, but, you know, at the same time, then you think about how much you pay for rent. It's like you might as well just live in the suburbs and pay for a car. It's the same amount of it's the same amount of money you're going to be spending. But at the same time, the convenience and accessibility to things here in New York is incomparable to anything else and anywhere else in the world. So I choose New York City.
For $1,000, I was just paying in Hell's Kitchen. I was just paying for a very, very small closet room with no windows. So, yeah, I know that. Much rather have a car. Yeah.
You might as well just be like somewhere at like South Oaks or one of those penitentiaries where there's insane asylums or something like that. That's pretty much what it sounded like.
It would have been a step up.
No windows? I can't even imagine.
Yeah, it was an illegal room, to say the least.
Nothing's legal in New York.
But you know what? I lived in the most fabulous area, in my opinion. So that's all that matters.
I'm actually moving there as of tomorrow, so I'm going to be moving in Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, wonderful. Well, welcome. I'm
Thank
not there
you.
Anymore, but
he's moving into his closet.
Yeah, he probably is. Probably moving into my old room.
I will let you know how it is. I'm very excited. We'll see.
Good.
So what's going on?
So how are you? Are you okay to have conversations in that cab?
Oh, yeah, I don't care.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. So, you know, for people who may not know Danny was just featured on ABC's What Would You Do? And they put on a segment asking what would you do if you experienced AIDS discrimination. Danny was the actor who played the HIV-positive person who was the server and also the customer. Danny is also HIV-positive in real life. And, you know, that is why Danny is coming on and kind of where we heard about Danny. And we think it's great because that show is something that, you know, we've been hoping to get on, and I think it's great that they finally did that. Can you tell us a little bit what the casting process was like for that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for having me, P.S. I went in for the few weeks prior, they aired an episode about drag and two performers, you know, being dressed up in a cafe somewhere, I guess, in New Jersey. And they were looking for drag performers for that episode. And I went in for the audition and didn't get cast, but they asked us during the interview. And then I also sent them an additional email after I knew I wasn't going to be cast in it, just saying thank you very much for the opportunity and nice to meet you. And they asked us if we had faced any adversity in life, and I said in addition in the email that, you know, besides just normal discrimination as you know, gay kid growing up in the outskirts of New York City, that, you know, I also was positive, and if they had ever done an episode about that or even just touched upon it, and if they had, where was it, where can I see it, and if they hadn't, would they be willing to talk about it more? So we actually, the director, his name is Oliver Hempman, and I, we just kind of went back and forth, and they brought me on just as like a consultant. Like, they just would ask me questions about my life and my experiences so far, and they were going to go through some casting and possibly cast an African-American female between 18 and 25, because it's a big demographic that's being hit right now and plagued by this epidemic. And I guess they didn't go with that, and instead they asked me if I would want to be on it, and I said absolutely, and then they cast me. So, and the rest is history.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate. I'm so blessed and glad that they asked me to do it, because I thought that if anyone is willing to do it if anyone's willing to do it and be as comfortable as they are and not care what people think, with all the people that I've met so far, like with the exception of actually you, Robert, and I have not met the other half that's there, but I mean, I have not really met a lot of individuals who are so as I am to talk about it in a very large forum and outlet as, you know, ABC.com is. So I thought that it would be a good fit.
I was going to say I can totally understand that, because you don't realize how liberating it is to actually have other people to talk about it and not feel like ashamed or different. So to have that open venue with other people, I think it's just a really liberating thing to have, that support.
Yeah, actually, until the episode aired, I really hadn't met anyone that would talk about it publicly and as open as, you know, Robert, and as a friend of ours now, Tom Donahue, too. Like, you know, I've met people since then, but before that, I kind of felt, not that I was alone, but that I was really one of the very few that could just be as comfortable with it and be outspoken as I am.
You know, Danny, it's funny. By the way, this is Christopher Myron, because I'm one of the many people that Facebooked you after the episode aired, and you had a lot of support here at Paz I Am that Sunday. Everybody was going nuts about it. I actually went to go see your performance that following Wednesday at Barracuda, and I wanted introduce myself afterwards, but your show went on and on so late into the night, I'm like, I have to go to bed. I have to work the next day.
And for that, I apologize. I'm known as the Marathon Queen.
Yeah, I was like, oh, my God, she's good, but I'm like, I can't keep my eyes open.
Wednesdays tend to go a little long because I pretty much will stay and do as many numbers and do as much as I can to entertain a crowd and keep them, you know, excited and interested. So sometimes it could be an hour, sometimes it could be three. But thanks for coming. I'm sorry we didn't meet then.
No, it's quite all right. And I really appreciate it. Like, not even 5 minutes into your show and you pulled a plug in for that ABC airing, which was really cool. So it was nice to see how open you were about it, even in public, like outside the cameras.
Yeah, you know, with only in the past few years have I been asked, just outspoken, I'm an individual, HIV aside, but doing drag, living in New York City, and just being an out and proud gay man has really helped me just identify who I am and not really care what anyone thinks in life. I mean, life is too short. It could end tomorrow. It could end 80 years from now. But why live your life according to other people? And I, you know, break down all the walls and barriers as much as I can.
Well, which is now that you're mentioning this, because what we like, I'm guest hosting tonight. All of a sudden, I'm like a regular host. Anyway, that what they usually talk about on this radio show, that's basically like what was it like when you were first diagnosed? If you wanted to talk to us a little bit about that, like, you know, when you first became positive, how you were and everything.
Yeah. I found out about I found out a while ago, and it just became, at first, something wasn't, not even a plague, I kind of forgot about it for almost a year. I had found out through the grapevine that an ex of mine, who I had been dating, was a porn star, which I knew prior to us ending our relationship. But apparently becoming a porn star and also being an escort kind of come hand in hand. So I found out through the grapevine that he had been positive, and I kind of braced myself for the results ahead of time. And once I found out that I did indeed have it, I just forgot about it for about a year. I didn't grieve over it. I didn't dwell on it. I literally just forgot that I didn't even have it. And about a year later, I got bit by my dog accidentally in the dog park in Los Angeles, where I had been living at the time, and just wanted to seek some care because I had an open wound from his teeth, and they asked me at the doctors if I had any immune problems for the medication they were going to give me, like the antibiotic. And at first I said no, and then I backtracked and thought about what some horror stories I had heard based upon people and their immune deficiency problems. And I said, well, actually, I do. And that's the first time I actually pretty much came out about it and said that I was positive to really anybody. And then pretty much since then, I've actually, you know, held the reins on my own health and started, you know, just telling as many people that I could, that I cared about, that knew, that I felt should know about, you know, me, because it is an integral part of my life now. It is something that I'm going to deal with for the rest of my life and that I deal with day in and day out. And, you know, the people in my life that are surrounded by me should know that this is an obstacle that I face every day. So that way they do understand where I come from, for example. So it was challenging at first, but after about a year or so, like I said, I started to actually take control of my life and control of my health. And looking back on it, I'd actually say it's a very big blessing in disguise. I mean, it's not something that I recommend anyone getting, but, you know, I could have seen myself going down another path that may have been more reckless, and having this really kind of controlled my life and was almost like, for lack of a better word, birth control or contraception, if you will.
Amen. Same thing.
I'm not sure if anyone, maybe those listeners out there understand what I'm talking about. Maybe they don't, but maybe some of you at least can identify with what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Almost like a roadblock, but for the better.
I totally 100% agree with you. It really, for me, it put things in check. It really made me realize what was really important in my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It put everything into perspective. It really, I consider it a gift. In a good way. It really has changed me.
I completely agree. I mean, there, you know, and that all depends upon the person, but you could tell a lot about an individual with how they view the challenges and obstacles that they've faced in their life. You know, someone saying, considering it a gift rather than a, not even a detour, but something that's disabling them from moving on, you know, or a handicap. Like, that's just, you know, that just tells a lot about a person. And I look at it as, an obstacle I got to, you know, face to get over certain things in life. But at the same time, it's something that I feel like if I didn't have, I definitely know I wouldn't be in this position right now in life. And I'm very blessed for where I am in life right now.
No, I totally. I totally agree. That's good.
Yes.
So I wanted to ask you, Danny, on that show that I'm going to go ahead and assume here that everyone saw you on the ABC show, and if not, we're going to put the link up in a little bit. But we got to see, you know, people that were giving you a hard time, people that were completely supportive. Was there anything that wasn't aired that kind of stuck out for you? Was there anybody that was significantly giving you a hard time, or that they didn't want to air it, or, you know, anything like that that you'd want to talk about?
I would say that there's I want to just preface this by saying that everyone at ABC, and including like the staff and the cast and crew that were there, were more than 100% supportive of me and just, you know, the issue at hand and what was being discussed. And they do know that it was a very delicate one at that. So, you know, they did welcome me with open arms from the first minute that I got into the transportation van that was going to bring us to set. The one thing that they didn't really show was there was an enormous and incredible reaction at one point that was really amazing when the entire diner, they showed really briefly. There was this one part where Tracy, who was the actress, she was playing the patron at the time and not the waitress. And she, she got up and she said, "Is anyone here, agree with me that he should be kicked out or asked to leave because he's got AIDS?" And, you know, they showed, I think, a clip of one person saying, you know, "No, I think you should leave." I think it was a gentleman. But in this particular segment, they actually had all of them in the entire diner. They didn't stage us. Nothing in that show is staged at all, I can assure you that. They all got up, and they literally, they trampled her. Like they were all, I mean, verbally, not physically, but they all got up and were like, "No, you need to leave. You need to leave. You need to leave." And it was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen, actually, since I've been alive, was that there's 20, 30 strangers that don't know each other. And they all got up for the same issue and the same reason, to get rid of the negativity that, you know, was plaguing them and plaguing me at the time. And it was a really incredible moment that they didn't, unfortunately, air, but for the first time in a very long time, I felt like I was being supported and just basically supported and taken care of by us, like strangers, you know, for an issue that I do know a lot of people, have, including myself, face a lot of discrimination against. So there was really, that was the only thing I wish they would have aired, and something that they didn't air, which I'm glad they didn't, was more of my reaction to when the gentleman didn't want to shake my hand at the end.
It looked like you were really pissed off there. I don't blame you.
Well, being a drag performer in New York City, you become a very outspoken person, just ultimately, naturally. And I had to be the victim, and it's the first time in a very long time that I kind of had to suppress all my feelings and my emotions and just like bite the bullet and take it. So it was just very difficult for me to just sit there and watch someone say something. So I had to bite my tongue because he hadn't signed the waiver yet. So yeah, I definitely wanted to say more than I could, but I had to just be silent.
I give you a lot of willpower. I could not have been silent. Maybe things would have been different if there were cameras in front of me, but oh my God. Oh, yeah. You're a better person for keeping your mouth shut.
And I also, I realize it's bigger than me. I'm not only representing myself, I'm representing anybody without a voice or who doesn't want to voice their opinion or themselves or speak up about this due to maybe whatever problems they're having or whatever situation they're in. And I feel like I'm representing a larger group than just myself. So I felt like being negative or being spiteful or angry in the situation would have just put a bad representation on all of us, because we are here to just gain acceptance and not create any more confrontation. So I'm glad that I didn't say anything, but if this was in New York and I wasn't around cameras, and he had signed a waiver, maybe it might have been a different story.
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, I just thought it was may have been staged, and I realized very quickly after that when I looked around, you could see me kind of looking around in the cameras, and I realized that it wasn't staged at all. It was a real, true emotion that guy was feeling by not wanting to shake my hand. That was when reality sunk in for me for the first time since pretty much I've had it. I've never seen something like that happen before.
Wow, that's crazy. I remember that. But real quick, I want to open up our phone lines, allow people to call into the show. If you'd like to speak to Danny, you can reach us here at 347-215-9442. You can put your questions in the chat room either on the Pause I Am radio page or on the Pause I Am network. We have that Christopher in that chat room taking the questions, or you can tweet them to us at Pause I Am on Twitter. So, Danny, did you experience any of kind of discrimination? You said before that you didn't, like personally?
I did, but in a different way. Believe it or not, I think that, I mean, I haven't faced a ton, but I have faced enough to speak on the issue. I have faced more discrimination in regards to just HIV awareness, education, acceptance, and tolerance in the gay community than I have anyone else. And it pains me, and it's shameful to even say that, like, this community, which was, of course, plagued the greatest, at least in the United States, by this epidemic, is so, they segregate, and they judge, and they're very prejudiced over their own people, I guess, for the lack of a better word. I've gone on dates before where people have said once the date's going well, or I've gone through several dates and then, you know, the date's going well and you want to get to know someone more, either intimately or just further on. And then I come out and say my status, and then they pull away, and they some people are very out and vocal about it and just say, absolutely not, I can't date someone who's positive.
Right.
That right there to me is so counterproductive for not only the journey that HIV and AIDS has on just people and what we've done so far since the first start of the epidemic, but it also it's just hurtful for me to see a subculture, a culture that is already still secondary class citizens in comparison to heterosexuals, for example, judging people within their own community. It's so counterproductive to me, and I don't understand it.
No, actually, that's something that we hear a lot from people, that they, most of the discrimination they get is from, from gay people. A lot of other, gays are so discriminatory against them, because of their status. And that's kind of, I don't know, it's something that's, it's tough, it's hard. How do you separate it? You know what I mean? How do you separate yourself? We're supposed to be, like you said, one community. So that kind of pisses me off. Were you always open about your status? I mean, like, publicly before, like, did you ever do speaking engagements, or was it kind of like when you do drag, were you open about it?
Yeah, I filmed this television series, which I don't really know actually the status if it's going to get picked up or not, but we filmed it for Here TV, and it was on gay.com, and it was called The Queens of Drag, and I had come out on the TV show, but they actually never aired it. And I did come out in a few magazines here in New York City, but that's really as far as lengthwise that I've gone to a larger community than just my friends and my family and my social, like, inner circle. So that's as far as it extended until pretty much the TV show, What Would You Do? But I've never been one to deny my status. If anyone asked me, if it was a lover, a sexual partner, a friend, a family member, a coworker, I would never deny it. But it wouldn't be something that I'd be like, hi, I'm Danny, and I'm positive. But now,
Were you ever in, like, because a lot of people, when they're diagnosed, they get that, like, that depression state or that state that, like, they're in that kind of fog. Like, how long, not how long, but kind of like, were you ever in that fog, and did you find your way out of it in a certain way?
I never got into that fog, luckily enough. Yeah. I think it's because I'm just a very stubborn individual sometimes. And when I want to tell myself something's right or something's not right, or I'm feeling happy, like, I will convince myself regardless that I'm happy. So I think that when I found out initially that I just had kind of put it on the back burner, and I put all emotions that come with it on the back burner as well. What did shock me, though, was when the episode aired that we're talking about, What Would You Do? When it aired the following day, I got all these amazing emails and Facebook messages and text messages from friends and random strangers that, you know, sent me just very supportive messages saying that either they, you know, love me or they you know, they thank me for doing what I did. And that's actually really when I relived what you're talking about, cause, or actually I just lived it for the first time. I kind of went through that whole grieving process, but in retrospect, it was actually in a different way. It wasn't negative, like my life is over, or, you know, I have this. It was actually the complete opposite. I was just so grateful to have people who do support me and also be happy that I am who I am. And be able to be honest and open with the world. You know, there's no more skeletons in my closet. And for the first time after that episode aired, I felt free 100%.
Wow.
I couldn't even really describe it in words. There are no words to describe the feeling that I got, but it really empowered me to just know that I could do greater things. And this is just only a step to even greater things.
Yeah, that's what I was like when I heard that you were going to be on the show. I mean, that was great, because when the show aired, this entire chat room was blowing up. We were talking about it even after it was over for like a good hour and a half. Everyone's like, oh my God, he's an inspiration. We love him. I'm finding him on Facebook. And now everyone's all quiet with me. I'm like, well, here he is. Now it's your chance to talk to him, and nobody's saying anything. I think they're all starstruck.
Oh, there's nothing to be starstruck. Oh, please. I mean, thank you. That's very flattering. But I know I would love to answer some questions if anyone has them.
Yeah,
I think that this, like, you know, shows like this are really what America and just the world needs. They need people who are talking about it, like, as if it's a bruised rib or you have a scratch on your finger, you know, or just another day. This is what needs to happen. There needs to be more vocal awareness, not even, you know, written. People need to be talking about it as lighthearted as we are, even though it's a serious issue. Putting it as serious of an issue that it has been before, it makes people not want to talk about it because they're scared. But here, you know, we're talking about it very lightheartedly, and I'm just happy to see that there are outlets like this that are doing good for the stigma that it has in general.
Right. I actually have a few questions here coming out of the chat room. One, somebody asked, are you on any meds?
Yes. I've been on medication for about a year and a half, actually. Maybe a little bit longer. The episode aired a few months ago, so the timing's a little off. But I'm on Lexiva, Truvada, and Norvir, and I take it once a day.
Have you experienced, like, were you scared to go on meds? You know how a lot of people are afraid.
I was scared to go on it at first because my doctor had told me once I start, you really shouldn't stop. It's like, you know, it's a commitment. It's once you start, you're going to deal with it for the rest of your life. But the way I looked at it when I decided to do it was, until I go on medication, I'm not going to have control of my life. I've heard, you know, mixed things. People say that you shouldn't go on medication until it's necessary. Then there are other people who say you should go on medication as soon as possible. And I looked at it as I'm taking the steering wheel and I'm driving this car now by starting the medication, regardless if I was ready to do it. I mean, you're probably the normal average person, if anyone, will not be ready to do it. No one wants to go on medication for the rest of their life, but it's also just something that I take once a day. You know, and it's nothing that's dampering on my everyday activities. It's just something that at a certain time I know, okay, do I have my medication with me? Got to go take it.
Right.
And now things are great. I'm undetectable, and I have been for over a year. And everything is great, and I now can rest easy about my health, even though it is compromised a bit because of this. I know I am in control of it.
Right, no, that makes sense. You know, I thinking back now on the video as you were talking, it just hit me. When that woman got up in the pink shirt and stood up for you and then invited you over to her table, what was going through your head?
I wanted to cry, like in a good way.
Yeah.
But it was really that entire day was one of the most remarkable experiences of my life because, again, a stranger that I've never met before invited me over to her table to have lunch with another stranger, which was her neighbor. It just shows that there is humility in life. There are good people. There are people who are educated. There are people who are unbiased. You know, there are those good people still out there, despite people's negative outlooks on life sometimes, that people, you know, are rude or inconsiderate. There are those good people. They're just a diamond in the rough.
Which probably leads to the question.
I thought I would have cried.
Which leads to the question that was actually just posted in the chat room by, I'm probably saying it wrong, Twist Aaliyah, but we all know him as Twist. The TV show was filmed out in the suburbs, not in New York City, correct? Which, yes, it was. Were you surprised that people were as supportive as they were out in the suburbs?
It didn't shock me, I would say. I mean, here's the thing. It was filmed in Lyndhurst, New Jersey, which from the diner window, you could actually see the skyline of New York City, but it was miles and miles and miles away. When the guy did not shake my hand, that's when I said the opposite. I can't believe that we're so close to New York City, and he refuses to shake my hand. But what did shock me in a good way was that even though we were in the suburbs of Lyndhurst, New Jersey, there were a very diverse group of people that were so supportive. Like, they had the older, like, the senior citizens. Then they had that, like, he must have been 16 or 17 years old, that boy, who was completely supportive. And then they also had the pregnant woman and those two women with the child, who I want to be their best friends because they're amazing. But, you know, it's amazing that being in a suburb so close to New York but still so far away, that there's several different generations who are educated, willing to speak up and also support those who are facing this type of harassment because of this issue. Did I answer the question?
That sure did.
Yeah. I go off in tangents. I've got complete ADD sometimes, so just pull me away, pull me back.
You're the guest.
We should
really
want
better me.
You know what I think moved me? I think what for me was the part that really made me feel great as a positive person was not that they just did something on AIDS discrimination, but they actually casted somebody who was HIV positive to play somebody who was positive. To me, that was awesome.
I'm sorry, going. Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't have had, I mean, even if it wasn't me, I would have only enjoyed watching it or wanted to watch it if there was someone who really could identify with it. I had to pull myself back, like my normal self as Danny Logan, and realize that not everyone is going to react as a victim of such harassment because of, you know, being positive as I would. So I had to just be a little more introverted, a little more of either a shy person or someone who was not in confrontational, not that I am very often, but I do speak up if I feel like I'm being mistreated. But I do have to realize that I'm in New York. I'm a drag queen, which doesn't help the fact that I'm, you know, more outspoken than others. But there are going to be more people than not that are not going to want to speak up about being victimized by the prejudice and the taboo and all the stigma that are associated with it. So I had to just let other people do the work for me, when in reality, you know, I would know that I could speak up for myself.
And I have one final question, just so everyone knows we're down to the last 7 minutes. I just put down a down payment for my share on Fire Island this summer, and I wanted to know if I will be seeing Dallas Dubois there, and I want to know about your upcoming performances, if you can let us know.
Yes. Well, for those New York Cityans or Manhattanites and Brooklynites and Queens, I'm in the city every week at Barracuda on Wednesdays at midnight. And just started to host at the Ritz on Saturday nights, all night, so you'll see me there too. And then as far as Fire Island goes, I have my normal slot with Logan Hardcore on Saturdays at the pool show in Cherry Grove at the Grove Hotel.
awesome. I love that show.
It's a hot mess. It really is.
It is. That's what I called it earlier before you signed in tonight. Hot mess.
It's nothing. Two men in dresses in broad daylight jumping into an in-ground pool of water like two schmucks makes for a perfect show.
So with the hair freaks out. Oh, I love it. It's the best.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I try to drown Logan Hardcore every single time I get in that pool, but usually I'm unsuccessful. So that's every Saturday at 3 p.m. And they will be headlining in the Pines, actually, this coming summer on Saturdays as well at night. And then on my Tuesday show at night at the Ice Palace in Cherry Grove at 10 p.m. on Tuesday. So you'll see me on Fire Island for sure.
Well, at some point, I'll have no excuse. I'm going to have to come up and introduce myself then.
Please do. If not before, the summer is still a few months away, unfortunately. So please.
Will do.
please come and say hi.
So I have a question for you, Danny. Where did you get your drag name from?
I've been through like three or four different names. If you haven't, could not tell already from the pictures and the video, I'm pretty white. No pigmentation. I'm like as close to albino as pretty much possible. And at first I used to be known as a drag queen named Baby Powder because I was just so white and I used to look very young. And that didn't really catch. So I went from that to Madonna Manson, which also didn't catch. And then I came to Dallas Dubois, which was a play on a city because I loved kind of playing on using a state or a city as a name for a person, like Savannah or Georgia, et cetera. Right. And then Dubois came because the alliteration for D&D, A Streetcar Named Desire, and Dubois in French means of the woods, where I spend most of my time in Fire Island. Just kidding.
Oh, I have no comment on that one.
I'm just kidding.
No, you're not.
I take it inside.
Now I know where to find you.
The meat rack, 7 days a week.
But there might be a crowd still.
I think that's where I got in trouble the first time, and which is why I'm here tonight.
Hello. Oh, no.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh,
sorry, Mom.
So do you plan on doing some activism more kind of, with HIV and stuff as Danny?
Yes. I'm currently going to be having a meeting with someone about public speaking for a major organization. I just don't want to mention the name if something doesn't happen to come up. I'm sorry?
No, I definitely know how that works.
Yeah, so as soon as I know if it's official or not, I will be posting on my Facebook. It's like a fan page, but it's just for it's not a friends page, it's a regular fan page. As soon as I know, I will let everyone know. And I also am going to start doing some public speaking for some conferences, and I'm doing my first one next month for the Youth Empowerment Conference in Danbury, Connecticut.
Oh, that's so awesome. That's so awesome. So people can find you on Facebook. They can search Danny Logan, and they can also search for your like page for your drag persona as Dallas Dubois. They can find both of them. Right, they're probably interconnected in some way too, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You can find one. If you find one, you'll find both.
Right. Now, do you also have a Twitter page?
Do you know, I am very technologically advanced, and I don't know how to work Twitter. Can you show me? Would you show me?
Yes, I'll
now
show
I have
you.
A reason to come visit you in New York.
There
I'll show
you go.
You Twitter. I'll show you how to tweet.
Please do. Someone show me. Next time, if the first person to show me Twitter, I'll buy him a free drink.
Oh,
I need to do,
that's
to do
me.
It.
That's me. I can do it. And really, are you doing the AIDS walk?
I'm trying. I don't know for sure if I have to be on Fire Island or not for that weekend. If I'm not going to be there, if I don't have to be there, then I will be at the AIDS walk. Regardless, I will be definitely donating and raising money for it.
Team Myron, just, throwing it out there.
Team Myron?
Yeah.
All right, well, you send me information and I'll support it for sure.
Sweet. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Well, thank you guys for this opportunity. It was really nice to meet you.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
I'm sure you'll meet Christopher, and if we ever get a chance, it'd be, a pleasure to cross
paths
sometime.
And come visit me in Fire Island, Robert. Come and just crash Chris's place or mine, either one.
Please,
you
I
got
insist.
It. Sounds like a plan.
I'm already inviting him to crash your place.
Wonderful.
Well, well, thanks for joining
guys,
us, Brandon.
I look forward to having more really exciting news in the near future. We'll see.
All right. Well, thanks, man.
Absolutely.
And you guys can find more information about Danny, again, Danny Logan on Facebook or Dallas Dubois. Thank you all for having a great night. Christopher, what is your blog page?
Oh, it's Christopher versus HIV versus the S. Christopher versus HIV.blogspot.com.
And you can find more information, me and the radio show, at PauseIM.com. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you to our special guest, Danny Logan. Chris, great job, man.
Thanks. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it was fun. You have a great night, and I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
All right, bye, guys.